Praise the Lord. So this morning, we've been singing about this amazing conquest that Jesus had over death, and he conquered death, and he's victorious. And I want us to turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as we go into the Word of God. And Monty already read that passage at the end of the chapter, and it's kind of like the boom at the end, right? But there's so much in between that really we should pay attention to and be encouraged by this morning. And starting in verse 16, I'd like to turn your attention. And by the way, as we go through, I encourage you to open your app or open your Bible and follow along in all of chapter 15. I'll be referencing scriptures throughout the chapter. But I'll start in verse 16 and read through 26, and that will be our text this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen. "For if the dead are not raised," Paul said, "then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, every year there are billions of dollars, literally just in the U.S. economy, billions of dollars that are spent on people trying to find a way to live longer. I mean, you may have heard the stories about this guy, he's really rich and he's putting in millions of dollars every year to take 100 supplements a day and doing all kinds of treatments, whatever. They're trying as much as possible to prolong life and to live as long as possible. Vitamins, herbs, customized diets, medicine, surgeries. Anyway, I'll keep my thoughts to myself. And many other things of trying to prolong your life and live longer on this planet called Earth. Which, by the way, when you look around, it's kind of falling apart. But I want to be here longer. Come on, give it to me, right? Listen, here's the thing. People try. If I could just live to 150, that'd be incredible. Really? I mean, listen, here's the thing. Even if you make it to 150, it still won't seem long enough. It won't. No matter when it happens, here's the thing. Death always leaves us wanting for more. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, God has set eternity in the human heart. It's built in. God made us that way, that we know that there is eternity, that there is forever and ever afterwards, right? Deep down, here's the truth. We don't really want to live to 150. We don't. You know what we really want? We really want to live forever. No, just you want to live forever. Because it's a God-given thing. We can set these goals to live for 120, 150, 180, whatever you want to do. But deep down, we want to live forever. We don't want to, you know, let me ask you a question. We don't go, and we don't want to hear these things. I don't think you've heard this. But we don't go to funerals and hear that about that deceased person, that they lived too long, and complain about that, right? Well, keep your comments to yourself. But we don't normally hear about, man, that person lived way too long. When's the last time you heard that at a funeral? Never. At least I hope you haven't heard that. We don't go to hear that. And whether you live to be 30, 50, 80, 100, or 120, death always seems to come too soon. Too quick. And all the efforts, right, that so many people and all the money they spend that to try to live longer is motivated by this, is motivated by the assumption that this life is all there is. That's it. You only live once. So enjoy this life as much as you can. Live it up. And that's not even a new idea, because even in this chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 here, Paul says that 2,000 years ago, people in Corinth, they were saying this. They were saying, let us eat in verse 32 and drink, for tomorrow we die. Live it up. Let's do it. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? That's the attitude of our world. That's the attitude that we have and we had without Christ in our lives, right? That this life is all that there is. So party up. Do all that you can. Do what you want to do. Do when you want to do it. Do with whoever you want to do it with. Just live it up. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 16, he says this, if I could paraphrase and insert my own words there. Okay, let's analyze that. If the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. If this life is all that there is, if people don't rise, then Jesus wasn't raised either. What difference does it make if Jesus was or wasn't raised from the dead over 2,000 years ago? What difference does that make? Here it is. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If people don't rise from the dead, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he didn't succeed in doing the one thing that we need most a Savior to do, and that is this, to take our sins away. He didn't succeed. In fact, if Jesus is still dead, then you and I am still dead in our sins. We're still guilty and we're still hopeless if he didn't rise. You can have all the faith you want in the world. You can muster it up. You can think it up. You can formulate it whatever way you want. But if it's in a dead guy, it's useless. Absolutely useless. If Christ has not been raised, Paul says, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. This is really, really, really important. Can't emphasize it enough. And yet we even have more important points coming up, believe it or not. Because here would be the result if Christ didn't raise. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. They're lost. If you die with your sins, what happens? You're lost. That's what Paul said. It's the Bible says that. If you die without your sins forgiven, you go to hell. Yes, we do talk about hell on Resurrection Sunday, because Jesus defeated hell. Amen? Hallelujah. Because that's what we deserve. We deserve that. We sang that on Good Friday when we had our service. Every one of us deserves to die, right? But you save all who hope in your great love. We all deserve that. That's how it is, because we've all gone astray. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible calls this the second death in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. You can check it out. It's that forever separation from God's grace and his good presence, where instead you'll be in that place where you are forever and ever and ever more, because you will live forever, but you'll be in a place where you're punished because of your lack of faith, or no faith, actually, in the resurrection of Christ, and believing that he can take your sins away to grant you that everlasting life. But if Jesus didn't rise, all who die are lost to hell. That's the simple message there. That doesn't sound good, right? Doesn't sound very good. But actually, Paul says it's even more than not good. He actually says that it's pitiful. What a joke. What a joke if Christ didn't rise that you would believe this and do this. It's all a waste of time. And it's pitiful. Paul writes, if only for this life, right here on this earth, we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Let's live that Christian life believing it. But just here on earth, even though Christ didn't rise, he did. But Paul's saying that as an example, right? And it's a waste of time. It's pathetic. To live life with hope only for here is pretty sad. To face death thinking it's the end is pitiful. All the struggle that you go through, right? All the working that you do and have done and are still doing, right? All the effort. For what? For what? So that you can get old and die? Sorry for my bluntness. But there's more. Even if you make it to be 150, that's pitiful. And Paul's not just talking to those in his letter here who do not believe that Christ rose from the dead and do not believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's actually writing to Christians. If my faith in Jesus is only for this life right now, I'm to be pitied more than anyone else. Christians suffer persecution and have suffered persecution. Read Hebrews chapter 11. What those who believed in the resurrected Jesus, what they went through. The list is horrifying. Christians give up sinful pleasures. Well, you're supposed to, by the way. But Christians give up sinful pleasures, not in known strength, but by God's strength, and because of the Spirit that lives in you. And here's the thing. Doing all that, if all that happens is you die and it's over, if there's no resurrection, can I just be blunt again? What a waste. What a waste. It's a waste of time then. And that's why I love this day. Today, right now, Resurrection Sunday is so important because Christianity hinges on whether there's life after death. Amen? Our lives and our hope depend on whether Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise, listen to me, and I'm being serious. If Jesus didn't rise, stop singing his praises. What's the point? Cancel all your dinner plans you had this afternoon and throw away your ham, put it back in the freezer or whatever you do. Don't bother. It's all a waste of time. What are you doing? Unless, of course, you do it for the Easter bunny. Shame on you. It's Resurrection Sunday, right? It's amazing. No matter what we do, and no matter how we try to make our life longer, we're all going to come to this point. And if we're living our lives without this in view that Christ rose, it's all a waste. You know what? And here's the thing. If that's true, and if we're not going to even gather on Resurrection Sunday, then here's what we should do. Here's the alternative. If this is all we live for, then you better eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Because tomorrow you die. And then you know what else you can do? You can put on that smile. You can walk around. And you can lie about what good people we are. Because that's all that we've got going on in this life. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Put your life under the microscope this morning on this Resurrection Sunday. If your hope is only here on this planet, that's pitiful because you can't avoid death, and then you will give an account to your Almighty Creator God according to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 9. Death is our enemy. Look, no matter how long you live, if our hope is only for this life, our faith is futile. And those who die that way are lost. And we're to be pitied more than all people. That's how far Paul has gone in what he's saying here. But our hope isn't only for this life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, are we awake this morning or what? I mean, come on. I know. How can we not be so energized and just enthused by this truth that the resurrection is real? Our hope isn't only for this life, right? Verse 20 declares, and Paul says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Christ is risen. What if Jesus didn't rise? What if there isn't a heaven? Listen, here's the truth. There is no room for what ifs. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. This is the core of Christianity, and it's also the gospel. Because earlier in chapter 15, in verses 3 to 5, Paul wrote this. He said that Christ, and he passed this on as of primary importance, he said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And this was actually like the first, one of the first creeds of the early church. And he wrote this, and they're repeating this over and over again. It was the gospel encapsulated. Jesus is the only one who defeated death. And now we can join with the apostle Peter, who wrote this in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 3. I love his words here. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope that transcends and goes beyond this life on this planet through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. How did that hope come? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. No other way. We have that hope now. Why was Paul so sure? How could he be so sure? How can we be so sure about this? Paul saw Jesus after he had been raised from the dead. He tells us that in verse 8 in chapter 15. And here's what happened when he saw Jesus. It completely changed him forever. Paul used to be called Saul. He went from being an enemy of God to being the greatest missionary who endured everything and anything for Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was dead? Absolutely not. Christ is risen indeed, and Paul could write that. He endured everything. He faced wild beasts, he wrote. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was mocked. He was imprisoned. They attempted to kill him over and over again. Why go through all of this? Because, again, Jesus Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And Paul said in Philippians 3:10, I want to know this Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know that too. Hallelujah. If you hear anything this resurrection morning, let it be this. Jesus didn't rise to show off and flaunt his power over death, you know, the grave and Satan. He didn't do that to say, I'm Almighty God, look at me. He didn't do that. You know why Jesus rose? He rose for you. He rose for you, and it's right here in the Scriptures, in this passage. He rose for you. For sin, since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Just as certainly as people die, you can be certain that people will rise. Amen? I have that hope. My father died 14 years ago. And I still have that hope that I'm going to rise. He's going to rise from that grave. And I'm going to meet him face to face. We're going to be before our resurrected King forever and ever. And most of you, a lot of you, are probably thinking, even on this resurrection day, of those who have gone. And they're asleep, but they're waiting. And in the presence of the Lord, but they're waiting to be raised up. And so we could join them and be with Jesus forever and ever and ever again. What certainty we have, right? And people, 100%, 100%, we can be certain that we're all going to die. We know that. So how certain can we be of heaven? Again, 100%. 100% certain. There are three things in life that are certain. You've been told there are two things in life that are certain. Death and taxes. We're in Rhode Island. We're in New England, right? We're in Richmond, right? Death and taxes, right? No, it's wrong. There are actually three things in life that are certain, not two. Death, taxes, and eternal life. 100% certain. But each in his own turn, Paul says, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Jesus is the first fruits. Now, did you ever read that and you're like, I get it, but I don't get it? It's okay to be honest. God likes honesty, right? Do you ever wonder, like, what is that all about? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you got it all figured out. That's good because you read scriptures. But maybe you don't know. Let me just, listen, here's the thing. Each spring, the Sunday after the Passover was a special holiday for the Jews. It was the day of first fruits. On that Sunday, each family was to, I'm going to read this because I don't mess it up, right? Because I'm not Jewish and I don't do all the feasts. Maybe, you know, but each family was to present to God their first crops from their spring harvest. And here's the thing about it. It was an act of faith. There was so much faith involved because they trusted God that since he had given them the first sheaves of grain, that much more would follow now with all their crop, right? Here's the beautiful thing that you have to catch this morning. Jesus rose from the dead on the very day that the Jews were bringing their first fruits of grain to Jerusalem. The first fruits, right? On that resurrection morning, that's resurrection Sunday, when that first crocus, right, pokes its head through your flower bed or in the middle of your lawn or whatever you've, wherever you've put them. I've seen them all over the place, right? You know something. You know that more will follow. Then you have the daffodils. They've come. They're trying, but they can't make up their mind with the weather, right? But they've come up, and then when you see one, you know there are others. Then you see the tulips, and then you and so on and so forth. And we know that more is going to follow. There's more than just the one. When you see Jesus rise from the dead, you can know that more will follow. That's what the first fruits means. Lots more will follow. In fact, there are millions of people around us that are following and have already followed behind us because they've gone to be with the Lord and we're going to rise up. But much more will follow when we're resurrected to meet Christ if we're not already dead in this body, this physical body. You can follow if you believe because Jesus defeated death for you. He rose for you. Not for himself, he rose for you. So why? It begs the question. So why are people still dying? Why are people still dying? Why are there still so many funerals? Isn't death really defeated? What's the deal with that? Well, here's what God says. Be patient. We love that, don't we? We love patience. And God says, not only that, I have an order, I have a plan. But I have my own plans. I want to live to be 150. And I want to take 48 supplements a day. And I want to have longevity therapy. And I want to, whatever. Be patient. Be patient. God has a plan. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death is already destroyed virtually, but yet it will be the finality of that death when it's completely suffocated and done away with is still to come. Jesus' resurrection proved his victory over death, amen? But death won't be destroyed and it won't be completely done away until that day when he comes. That's why death is the last enemy to be destroyed. Death won't end until that day when Jesus comes again, until judgment day. The Bible tells us what it's going to be like at that time. And we love this passage in Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That sounds incredible, and it's what Paul was writing about when he said, as Monty read in our text, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death defeated. And one day death itself will be cast into the lake of fire when you read in Revelation. Jesus makes a statement this morning as we draw to a close. And he has a question for you and for me in John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 25. This is all before Jesus died. This is all before Jesus went on the cross and then was buried. He already knew this, and he spoke these powerful words, and he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will what? Will live." We're getting there. "Will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." When you believe on him. And here's where it all comes. Everything comes to this. Jesus asks a simple question to Mary. Do you believe this? That's the question. Do you believe this? Do you? Do you believe this? Because if you do, what an incredible life. And if you do, life won't be hopeless. It won't be futile. It won't be pitiful. And it won't be lost. That's for sure. Amen? Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So here's the thing. Rejoice! Live it up in that way. Let the rejoicing and the joy of the Lord just flow out of you. Live this life, the abundant life, knowing that no matter what happens when that medical bill comes in, when that diagnosis comes in, and they tell you you have 6 months to live, I'm not belittling it, but let me tell you something, death is defeated. I know it sounds like it doesn't make sense, but when you get all that bad news, remember, death is defeated. No matter what comes your way, death is defeated because Christ has risen and we will rise with him as well because we believe that he's the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Listen, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 18, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last." He was always there, man. "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." You know what's beautiful about that? Though we die, we will not stay dead. The gates of hell will not prevail. Listen, here's the truth. Satan has the gates of hell. You know what it's all about? When we read about that, just as a little thought, when the gates of hell will not prevail, and Jesus said that about his church's kingdom, the idea is that Satan has his domain and it's hell. And he has erected and he has walls all around it. Those gates are all around it. That's all fine and dandy. He can make them as high as he wants. He can make them as impenetrable as he wants. And that's all fine. And he thinks he's all in control. Because Satan has the gates of hell. That is a truth. But let me tell you something. Jesus has the keys to the gates. And he can open them anytime he wants and let you out of hell. Whatever hell you're in right now, that hell that sin brings to your life, and it's tortuous and it's difficult, and you're lost and you're wondering and you're hopeless and you're in despair and you have no hope for the future. Jesus holds the key, and he can open it right now if you just believe on him and ask him to, because he's alive. Satan can't keep you within his gates. When Jesus turns that key in the lock, and you hear that turning, you know, yeah, those old keys, the skeleton keys go in there, I'm visualizing, and you hear all those tumblers, and you hear the clinking of the metal, and that door creaks open, and he's inviting you to run out by faith. So today, answer his question in the affirmative when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll never die." And he says, "Do you believe this?" Say yes today with all your heart. Believe on him. Give him your life. Stop living for this life alone. There's so much more. He's ready to free you from death. And you know what he'll do? He'll cue you up. I'm not English. He'll cue you up for the resurrection to everlasting life with him in heaven. He's the first fruit. We're waiting and we're in line. Amen. Christ is risen. Okay, we're going to walk out with that. Christ is risen. 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 Now, because of that and our declaration, we take that message and we're going to do exactly what the women at the grave did. The angel said, you've seen he's not there. Now go and tell everyone you can that Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great day.